or fall. Powell said the Fed is looking for more data to strengthen its confidence in inflation falling to a long-term goal of 2%. The U.S. economy added another 206,000 jobs in June, slightly fewer than in May, but still suggestive of a strong labor market amid high interest rates. Average wages rose 3.9% from a year ago, the lowest such increase in 3 years, and a sign that the Federal Reserve's anti-inflation policies are sticking. Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 93 degrees and mostly cloudy. In New York City, 88 degrees with fair skies. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Spengert-Drowns. Thanks for listening.
Afternoon, Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, wherever you are tuned in, you are listening to Taking Action here on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. Always want to send a thank you to a shout out to our listeners for tuning in on Tuesdays and for supporting WPFW in general. We really do appreciate it. This afternoon, I'm honored to have some strong, stalwart organizers on the show with us this afternoon from DC Jobs with Justice. We'll be discussing some changes in DC's minimum wage, some events, and in general, ways that people are organizing to make sure that DC workers' rights are protected and that they are getting a return on their labor. I wanna welcome Sequinly Gray and Alfredo Castro with DC Jobs with Justice. Thank you both for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you, Daniel, for the invitation. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. Good to hear your voice.
Wonderful. Well, I know the WPFW audience is likely very familiar with DC Jobs with Justice, who has been doing great work here in the district for many a year. But if either of you or both of you would talk to us just a little bit about who DC Jobs with Justice is, for those one or two people out there who don't know. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, sure. So DC Jobs with Justice was founded in 2001, and we are a coalition of labor, community, faith-based, student organizations, and just everyday working people who fight to make working people's lives better. Just as simple as that. So anything from wages to time off to safe workspaces. And we also stand in solidarity with other campaigns like housing and safety. And we support those as well. So we're out here, we're in the community.
That's right. Alfredo, anything to add?
No, I think like Sequinly said it perfectly. Nothing to add.
Wonderful. Yeah, no. And I mean, it's such important work because workers are renters, workers are parents, workers are students. You know, the whole gamut is what workers are involved in. So really important work that DC Jobs with Justice does. And we really appreciate being in coalition with you all in the fight for, you know, social justice here in the district. So one of the primary reasons that I wanted to have you all on the show is because I'm on your email list and I kept getting emails, which is a good thing, about the increase in the minimum wage, which is very, very important. As we know, the district has increasingly become, you know, super expensive to live in.
The rents are high. The cost of living is high. People, you know, the resources, as we saw, we discussed on this show several times now, the budget for the coming year is not very friendly to low-income district residents who depend on safety net resources. So a bump in the minimum wage is certainly something that can help folks out. It may not be enough, to be honest, but it certainly is a great step forward. If you would talk to us a little bit about those details, right? Like, talk to us, because I want folks to understand that this doesn't necessarily come out of the goodness of the heart of employers or of the city leadership. It was workers. It was people organizing to push this forward. So give us a little bit of that backstory and then maybe some of the details about how the minimum wage will be increasing.
Yeah, so this is, like you said, like this is the effort and the work of workers and nonprofits and community members that want something better in DC. You know, I don't know if you recall that DC used to be $7.25, the minimum wage. You know, if we go back to 2014, the minimum wage was $8.25 per hour. And now we're at $17.50, which, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, that's okay. Like, it's not livable wage, but it's the minimum wage. And we're still fighting to, like, you know, increase it every year. But yeah, the workers are organized. They said it's enough to, like, you know, make to let decision makers define what wages are, the correct wages, right? So, and now getting $17.50 for the minimum wage and $10 for tip workers is a big win. For today's low wage class, you know, workers, and I mean, we're very excited that this is happening. Now, again, we're talking about like from $7.25 to $17.50. You know, as a big check. I still talk to workers that remember getting paid $7.25. I remember getting paid $7.25 in DC. You know, cleaning tables, you know, like, you know, making pizzas and stuff like that, and. So I'm really excited to share this with the community. I'm really excited to share this to make sure that people know about this, that we all are capacitating, we understand what this means, and that worker exploitation and wage theft is still prevailing in DC. You know, so it's up to us workers, community members, to watch out for one another. And I mean this by educating ourselves, sharing information with one another, to support one another when something shows up, and make sure that workers also speak up, you know, which is the most important thing. Workers need to speak up more than ever, because we have a voice, we have the team. We just need we need to activate workers and with this idea of, you know, worker power.
That's right. Thank you for that, Alfredo. Sequently, anything to add to that?
I think Alfredo said it perfectly. We want to build worker power. It wouldn't have happened without workers and their experiences and their stories and them being very, really brave to step forward and knowing that they could face retaliation. So the will of the people, the workers of DC, pushed the council to pass this law to help prevent wage theft. And yes, we work every day to make sure that folks know their rights and they have a resource or outlet to be able to express that. And workers are made whole by filing complaints and receiving their lost wages. So we try to, you know, make sure that we're with them every step of the way. And we involve other community partners.
No, that's so right. And let me just underscore, you know, the what you said, right? Folks put themselves out on the line, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this change doesn't come without challenges, right? People are scared. You know, we experience this in tenant organizing in the sense that people, mm-hmm. the more waves you make, the more complaints you put in, the more organizing you do, the likelihood of retaliation becomes more.
Yes.
Because they want to neutralize you. They want to stop you from changing this system that benefits one group over another. So, you know, once again, like a huge round of applause to those folks who have been pushing, who have been working to make sure that, you know, not only their life improves, but this ripple effect that it causes for all DC workers, I think, is so important.
Yes.
If you all would talk to us, like, how will this actually work, right? Will workers just automatically see this if there are any challenges, right? Like, if you know you have to get this raise and you don't see this, you know, what recourses are there? But in general, like, you know, how will the mechanics of all of this work, if you all can speak to a little bit about that?
Yeah, so employers are responsible to share this information with the workers. You know, so they need to come. They have to have like updated compliance posters up under the walls. Their workers can, you know, be notified about the new upcoming wages. But also, that's not the case. That's not the reality. And in the DC ecosystem, you know, like a few days ago, I saw a poster from 2013. You know, like past laws, outdated laws, and, you know, like, and I was opening my eyes that that's, like, your employers need to say that, but like, let's be real, like, workers need to support workers. And at this point, like, I want to say it is the responsibility of the worker to, like, be checking their pay stubs, you know, to keep tracks of their hours, you know, to maybe join a union. Maybe join a nonprofit, and then like report and speak up about wage theft. You know, participate in training. So know your rights trainings to capacitate about their rights, not just for them, but for their families and their community. And we also invite community members to participate in the wage theft survey. That I know is available in our social media. You can go to our Instagram. You can go to our Linktree, and you will see the wage theft survey link, where we're trying to identify labor violations in DC. We want to like understand how employers are violating workers' rights in DC. But another way that we're trying to bring this to light and make sure that the community knows is by having this awesome event that we're going to have, one in July 13 and the other one, if I'm not mistaken, July 18, secondly. And it's to not just celebrate that the work of workers and this win of increasing wages, but also to make sure that they know that they need to be getting paid, because those first 2 weeks is a big window where automatically your wages are not changed, but it should. So no, you know, so we're not going to wait for employers to do that. We're going to like take care of our community. We're going to take care of us. And we're going to have this event to make sure. We want to invite community members to bring their pay stubs so we can check to see if they actually get them paid the correct wages, right? Like, we want to make sure to do this wage of service to understand if they're actually being a victim of labor violations. But we also want to celebrate with culture, you know, poetry, music, go-go, cumbia, salsa. We want to have activities for kids. We want to make this as a community event as much as we can to celebrate, empower working class, and celebrate as a unity.
Yeah, and we should note that this is a free event open to district residents, workers, being put on by your nonprofit. Give us the details, and we'll make sure to remind folks, you know, before we leave again, but, you know, the date, the time, if there's any registration or anything.
I'll share, and I'll let Zegoinli speak for her event. There's also an amazing event that I witnessed, and it's so much fun. So we're the event on July 13 will be held on 3210 Mount Pleasant on Lamont Plaza. It's from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's completely free. We are requesting community members to register, so we can have a head count to just expect the unexpected, you know. So please help us by registering. So what the things that you can expect is a community event surrounded by local nonprofits. Like Sincere Savings is going to be Sunrise, Green New Deal is going to be there. We're trying to, you know, DC Job of Justice is going to be there. All these amazing poets like Kike Aviles, musicians that are very well known in DC, like Camilo y Los Locos, Son La Lucha, Victor Arce, El Grupo Malcriado, and much more. And there's also going to be activities for kids. We're going to have like kids can come and get a balloon and get their face painted. And you're also going to be able to, you know, find resources. We're still trying to get more unions to join us so we can share apprenticeships, opportunities to the community members to also, you know, find jobs for them. But yeah, so if you go to the DC Jobs with Justice Instagram and the link tree, you can find the registration link. So please, 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 if you can, please register so you can help us know how many people will show up.
Yeah. And so, Quinley, you want to talk to us a little bit about the event you'll be hosting as well?
Yes, excited to. Inviting East of the River. Oh, it's a citywide event, but I'm showing special thanks to East of the River. And my event will be held on July 18th at the beautiful Anacostia Park at the roller skating rink, where there will be free skate rentals. There will be a DJ. And we will also have two go-go bands that will perform. We'll have activities for the kids. We'll have free food. And we're also doing an open mic and beat your feet contest. So I'll have gift cards to give out. So make sure you guys show up, learn more about your rights as workers in DC, and also learn more about DC culture. This event will be in partnership with Long Live Go-Go. So we will also be talking about DC statehood. We'll be talking about gun violence and just how we can be in community with one another. So if you are interested in participating or tabling, please don't hesitate to reach out to dcjwj.org, and we can definitely get back with you so that you can be a volunteer or either table at the event. But all are welcome, and just want to reiterate and stress that beautiful Ward 8 has showed up for DC Jobs with Justice, and we greatly appreciate you. So we want to definitely highlight the greatness in that area.
That's right. No, that's right. And my I will encourage folks to go out. And my only complaint is that the food is usually, I know it's a Quinley's event, the food is too darn good, and I just want to keep eating. And I know I don't need to keep eating, but really encourage folks to come out because they really put out some great events. And I think, you know, what is really cool, because it's not just an event, it's not just a party event. There's, you know, as you mentioned, the aspect of learning more about DC culture. I think for DC workers to know the history of DC in general, the workers' history is important, and just making those connections so we can grow a wider base of people who know their rights, who are able to share their rights with their fellow workers and neighbors in general. I think is really great. So really encouraging folks to make it out to these two events, which once again are completely free. That should be a great point to get folks out in general. And we'll remind folks about those details before we wrap up the show today. You know, I think it's important to for folks to know a little bit, because we're going to get into some other stuff that is actually come down from the federal government that is helping with some workers' rights that are really good for folks to know. But I think for folks that are listening who may be experiencing some of these issues and may not know where to turn to, talk to us a little bit about, you know, the issues that you all see and hear from the workers you work with. And I know you also have a Know Your Rights website that is coming up that can help folks at least, you know, with the beginnings of like, wait, something seems wrong, right? Where can I check if something is wrong? Once again, if you talk to us a little bit about some of the issues that you see and then about this website.
Yeah, so we do have a new website. It's already out. You can go to knowyourrightsdc.org. So you can find information about workers' rights. You know, to start being, if you're curious about your rights as a worker or if something doesn't feel right, you know, right away, just go and check out the website. Just go check it out. do that, watch the survey or call and look for support if you feel that you're being a victim of wage theft. But the cases, I mean, like, are very common misclassification of workers, which, you know, they make them do one job, but they pay them the lowest thing, you know, not getting paid at all, or not getting paid their fair wages, or just taking like 3-4 weeks to get pay, you know, when in DC you need to get paid within 24 hours of your commitment, of the agreement, payment commitment. But also, like, we're seeing sexual harassment in the workplace, you know, in the food industry, in the construction, you know, like, there's, even though the construction is very male dominated, you know, it's still women are not being treated right in the workplace. So this is, if you ever had, be like, if you're listening to this and something is being like, hey, that's happening to me, go to this website, do the wage survey, call us, check us in, like bring us in to support. There's a new immigration protection that is called the Fair Action for Labor. It's not a path to citizenship, but it's a tool that we're using to the workers can feel free to speak up and not be afraid of retaliation, because this will protect you. This program will give you a residency and a work permit for up to 2 to 3 years. And as long as your case is open, you can renew it. But if it's not, it's not renewable. So that's why we're saying it's not a pass to citizenship. It's just a tool for workers to stay at work, you know. More than ever, undocumented workers are speaking up. They're being that they can actually get a benefit from actually speaking up. But I want to tell you about probably the email that you saw recently about the bricklayers. Mm-hmm. The bricklayers, they were manipulated retaliated because they were being their boss from a bricklayer company, where they were requesting a signature for the an exchange of their paycheck. You know, and that right away does intimidation or retaliation, because it's like, I'll give you this if you give me that, you know? So like, some of the workers were like, I'm not gonna do that. This is like sketchy. I'm not like, you still owe me money. If I like, because that letter stated, this is your last pay. I don't owe you anything else. You know, and that's something common that happens in the construction industry, even like in restaurants industry too. But they spoke up. Two of the leaders, Jose and Pedro, called right away, being like, I'm angry, I'm confused at this. Can we talk about it? We brought them into the DC Job with Justice. We checked in with the OIG, like the investigator from General Attorney of DC. We did a quick quick assessment about their issues, addressed their issues, collected evidence, you know, and we saw that they actually had a case. We supported their case. We worked with the OIG and BAC, Bricklayers Union, to acquire this letter of interest that is necessary to start the defraction application. This is the work of like many months, you know, and just recently, three of them just got their residency card. And you know, they're so hyped, they're so happy, they're like bringing more workers along, like they're calling other workers, their coworkers, being like, I want to participate, I want to speak up, I don't want my boss to get away with this, you know. So this temporary immigration protection has given undocumented workers the voice to speak up without fear. And this is your just very excited to keep like supporting this kind of efforts and keep supporting workers with this protection. Again, with the goal that there's just an organizing tool and it's not a path to citizenship.
That's right. But still, you know, once again, we need to use all the tools at our disposal to make sure that workers are treated right. And once again, you know, these folks who have a lot to lose, right? They may be undocumented, they could lose their income, their job. but nonetheless recognized that something was wrong and have pushed for it. And now we moved the needle forward, as it were, in order to protect. So great work on their behalf, on behalf of Jobs with Justice, for supporting their energy to want to create some change. So Quinley, as you know, as a longtime, you know, as a native district resident who, you know, we could do a whole show on Sequinley's bloodline and the organizing that she's, if I could put it out there, your grandmother, Stevie Gray, who did some amazing organizing with public housing residents. So you know what's happening in the district. Share with us a little bit about, you know, what are the issues that you've seen that workers are facing here in the district? You know, what they've done to fight it.
Yeah. So one case that comes to mind, and it keeps coming up because we've sued this particular company 3 times already through the OAG, the Office of Attorney General, is this company called Power Design. And so they've come here in D.C., I want to say probably like 2018 or something like that. But they are based in Southern Florida, and they do huge projects. So they do colleges, they do government buildings. They do not do any small scale, they do high rise buildings. They just do massive projects. And so what we have found is they only commit waste stuff against their workers by not giving them paid time off or paying them the right wages, but they also misclassify them as well. And so workers may, you're in an orientation, you get a uniform. So you're like, yeah, I'm a full-time worker. This is what I'm doing. But at the end of the year, when it's time to pay taxes, workers have to fill out this 1099 form to state that they and all that whole year, they haven't gotten any worker protection. They hadn't gotten any paid sick days. They hadn't gotten any eligibility for paid family leave, like just no type of benefits that will help keep them safe and assure their employment. And so for the third time this year, third time since 2018, the Office of Attorney General is suing them once again for the same things. And they have an apprenticeship program, which means they get DC tax money. They get out tax money, guys, to commit wage theft. That's basically what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So we are happy that we have a close relationship with the Office of Attorney General, a trusting relationship. And so whenever we see that there's a big company or corporation or even one person that works at a company that's huge, we make sure that we connect them with the Office of Attorney General because they definitely follow through, and they have proven to make workers whole every time. So that one stands out. It keeps standing out because, like I said, they get large amounts of DC tax money, and they still, after being sued twice already in DC. So yeah, that is one of the serious cases. And just a lot of things that Alfredo mentioned, even when I started doing this economic justice work in 2017, doing a survey of businesses, just to figure out if businesses knew how to follow the law, if they had been in contact with our local labor department, which is the Department of Employment Services, have they contacted you and made sure that you had the correct signage up in your break room? The businesses needing that assistance, inviting me in because they wanted that assistance. They wanted some kind of guidance. So because they know the consequences, but it's not enforced. So that's where we come in, DC Jobs with Justice, right? We make sure that these laws are enforced and implemented properly. So if any businesses are concerned while we're doing outreach, we make sure that we can get them the resources so they can be able to operate their businesses professionally and legally without committing wage theft to DC residents. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah, no, and I think it is so important to once again underscore the role that organizing groups play in this city, right? Because they're, you know, we fight tenants, workers, you know, people fight, organize, they get a win, it gets on the books, the council mayor may pat themselves on the back as playing a role in that. And some do. We need their help in that. But once they're on the books, the enforcement, the follow-up, all of that is so important. And I think that's an important role that organizing groups do in this city, is to make sure that a broader audience of people, of district residents, know what their rights are, and most importantly, what they can do to fight back. And I think that is, you know, something commendable that happens here in the city, that we need to keep going and strengthening. And we do that by growing our base, right? By growing the people, the workers that know their rights, the workers that are willing to stick their neck out on the line and say, like Alfredo mentioned, something just doesn't sound right. I'm confused. Like, those are powerful words to use. Even, you know, confusion may seem like a bad thing, but if you recognize it and you want to get clear on something, that is putting us on a path to, you know, to be able to fight back. Folks, you are tuned into Taking Action here on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. I am joined by Sequinly Gray and Alfredo Castro. They are both organizers with D.C. Jobs with Justice. We're talking about the minimum wage increase here in the district and workers' rights. If you have a story to share, if you have any questions or clarifications around this increase in the minimum wage, feel free to give us a call, 202-588-0893. Once again, that number is 202-588-0893. We look forward to hearing your questions and or comments. Let's remind folks who may have tuned in a little late about the events that you all are having to let folks know about these changes in DC's minimum wage, and you know, what they can expect, and all of that good stuff, right? How to register, because I think it's important for folks to come out. So if you both would talk a little bit about your respective events that you're bottom lining.
Yeah, I can go. So again, the event will be on July 13th in Lamont Plaza, 3210 Mount Pleasant, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. The event is completely free. We are requesting people to please register to help us have a headcount. We want workers of D.C. to come and celebrate the minimum wage, and also it's going to be a celebration to also, and also a preparation to prevent wage theft and to make sure that everybody's getting paid correctly. So we want the working class, we want tenants, we want working class tenants to come and celebrate with us, capacitate with us, make sure that we are getting paid correctly. And if we are not, as a community, we're going to go solve this problem, you know. And besides celebrating the minimum wage and preparing for preparing and making sure that we're getting the fair wages that we deserve, we also are going to dance together. You know, like, this is not just about issues, it's about how we celebrate this win, you know. And we're going to celebrate with poetry and music, with things for like activities for kids. We're going to have like nonprofits sharing resources about their work, and unions, information about unions, you know. And I feel like we want to, as DC with Justice, our mission is to create, you know, a working class power, you know, this is a one of many ways we do it. So we are so hyped to see you on July 13th.
Wonderful. So Quinley?
Yes. And inviting East of the River out to Anacostia Park on July the 18th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the roller skating rink. There we will talk about the increase of minimum wage, about ending gun violence, DC statehood, and DC culture. So there'll be live entertainment, and we'll also have giveaways for our Beat Your Feet and open mic contest. So bring your vocals and your dancing feet, because we are outside. We can't wait to celebrate with you.
That's right. That's right. Both, you know, important events that folks get out to, because, you know, once again, the more folks know, the more they could share with other folks, and the stronger our movement can become, right, for fair and just laws and practices, and a city that we all want to stay in and be able to stay in, given how expensive it is and the attack on many of the rights and resources that low-income, low-wage workers depend on, right? Like, you may be low-wage, but you're still working. You're still getting up in the morning. You're still having to deal with, you know, just life in general. So let's not discount that effort that many district residents put in just to get by, just to survive in such a city. Yeah. As we move forward, you know, I think it's wonderful that we've made this this big win thanks to workers here in the district. What do you all see as next steps? Like, what needs to happen? And within that, if you just talk a little bit about your work, there's these events that we just mentioned, but I know you all are organizing day in and day out, right? So talk to us a little bit about your campaign, the work you're doing, and how folks can plug into that and become part of these organizing efforts that you all are heading up.
Yeah, so... So I'm a labor organizer for the DC Job Justice. So one of the things that I do is outreach within our communities, high-risk communities, and make sure that I'm sharing education information about workers' rights, organizing Know Your Rights trainings for the community in partnership with other nonprofits, you know, going to schools, going to, you know, walking into businesses, getting to know people at the bus stop, you know, like really going to, you know, grassroots model, you know, talking to the people in their community. And then I supporting them, answering those questions, but also like referring them to the right proper agency. I don't know if it's like a legal partner, like a legal agency or something like the OAG or partners, legal partners we have, like the Washington Lawyers Committee, you know, or Rock DC that concentrates on the restaurant industry, you know, or like if it's a domestic worker, you know, Domestic Workers Alliance, you know, there's so many people doing the work, but my job is to like support, refer them to the right proper, you know, because there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work, and you were saying like low-wage workers are the ones who are facing worker exploitations, and I say like I think it's everybody who works goes through this, you know, like I got phone calls from nonprofits professionals that are making like over like no like up like more than like a minimum wage, you know, but they still call about like sexual harassment in the workplace, you know, like misclassification, you know, it's a problem, and it's not just it's a labor problem. You know, and my job is to, like go and talk to these people, capacitate them, capacitate me too, because I need to understand what's happening, and then refer them to their proper agency.
That's right. No, thank you for making that clarification. Certainly, it is not just you know, workplace discrimination. All of that stuff is not just an issue for low wage workers. Maybe they feel it to a different extent because of all the realities of everything else, but certainly these issues affect all workers, and all workers should know their rights and what they can do, you know, if they're faced in that situation. So Quinley, talk a little bit about, you know, your respective work, the campaigns that you're working on.
Yes. I'm the fun organizer. but yes, I am the community organizer with DC Jobs with Justice, and my task is to bring labor and community together. This was a challenge, but now we have broken down barriers with the passing of the wage theft prevention law, with adding protections for workers like paid family leave, which is really great in DC. So I actually bring those two components together, labor and community. And I just finished a series of wage theft go-go tour with DC public schools, high schools, in partnership with Long Live Go-Go, which was so much fun. And the kids were so engaged. But the plan is to be a more consistent presence in DCPS so that we may prepare our youth to know their rights as workers in DC. Many of our youth have adult responsibilities and they want a regular job. Sometimes SYEP, some youth employment program, is not enough. And so making sure that workers, I mean, that youth know their rights as workers in DC and what to expect. And even what's more important, how to read their pay stubs. Right. Because they're thinking about, we just want to get paid. We want money. Right. But not thinking about, oh, I didn't get all my hours this week. Oh, I don't see if I have any paid sick days. You know, I can't see that on my pay stub. So making sure that they know how to read their pay stubs. So that is the goal. And it's been so much fun learning with and teaching the youth of D.C. Yeah, so I welcome community partners to join us in the effort to bring more youth into our campaigns because they are the future of this city. So let's not forget about them and that they are also going through a crisis as well. So, yes, let's invite our youth into the conversation.
That's right. They're like, who the hell is Pica? Who's the person taking money out of my... and I think that's really important. I was recently having some conversations around just how work is changing, right? Employment is changing, right? Some of the work that used to be done isn't being done anymore in the sense that, you know, the digital age, all of this stuff is taking over. So, you know, the more that we prepare our young people to be able to take on the new workforce, as it were, is really, really important work. And yeah, they just need to know, you know, what you're heading into, so folks can be more independent, you know, as they get older in a city that's becoming increasingly hard to stay in if you aren't, you know, making over $100,000 a year. If you live in a property that's been identified for some sort of redevelopment or some sort of push out, or even a neighborhood for that matter, right? We're seeing whole neighborhoods being changed and flipped. So we have to make sure that our young people have all the tools at their disposal to be able to stay in their city. So really, really important work. As we begin to wrap up, I want to make sure that folks, you know, really understand what is happening. And I'm a fan of repeating stuff because it is so important and folks need to know it. And also just the nature sometimes of radio shows, folks may tune in a little later. I just want to remind folks, we've been talking about the increase to the minimum wage. We're hearing some background noise there, BFW. all right, we got that cleared up. I like that beat, but it's coming over the air, y'all. We're having, pardon us, folks, we're just having a little bit of a bleed through, but it appears we've gotten that taken care of. If you all would just remind us once again, you know, what is set to change? One sec. Hold on 1 second. In their city. Some really, really important work. As we begin to wrap up, I want to make sure that folks, you know, really understand what is happening. And I'm a fan of repeating stuff because it is so important and folks need to know it. And also just the nature sometimes of radio shows, folks may tune in a little later. I just want to remind folks, we've been talking about the increase to the minimum wage. We're hearing some background noise there, BFW. all right, we got that cleared up. I like that beat, but it's coming over the air, y'all. We're having, pardon us, folks, we're just having a little bit of a
I can actually create a vibe because we're gonna celebrate, right? We're actually going to celebrate. So I just wanna share, like, yeah. So yeah, it is true. As July 1st, the DC minimum wage has increased to $17.10 for the base minimum wage, and from $8 to $10 for tip workers. But tip workers need to remind themselves that if your tip wages don't add up to the minimum wage, your employer needs to pay the difference. All right. So yeah, how you feel the vibe, you need to tell your employers to pay up that difference. You know, you make sure you are getting paid that difference. And even though we're excited about this positive change, we want to ensure that every worker is prepared for this change. And here are some steps to make sure you're getting paid the correct wages. I lost my beat, so I'm going to continue here. So one, something that you can do is, you know your rights. Get familiar with your workers' rights, you know, because each trade, each industry can be different. But yeah, so get familiar with it. Number two, like, track your hours. Make sure you know how many hours you're working per week. Make sure you're getting paid overtime pay, and make sure that you know how to calculate your overtime pay. With this new wage, you're going to get a new overtime pay. So you need to make sure you're getting paid minimum wage and you're getting paid your overtime pay. Keep copies of your pay stubs. As a labor organizer, please help me with this, because it's like we need to look for these pay stubs at some point. So take pictures, keep them, track them, put them in a box for a whole year, whatever, because you can recuperate wages for up to 3 years. So, and the pay stubs is a great evidence. Another one is, like, consider joining a union. You know, that's where, like, worker power builds. That we're building worker power with unions. If you know that you're being a victim of wage theft, like, report the wage theft case. You know, like, call GC Job with Justice, call Alfredo, send me an email at alfredo@dcjwj.org. But report, speak up. You know, don't run away. Call, you know, let's move forward. Let's complain, you know, let's make a complaint. Participate in a training. Attend a Know Your Rights training. Check out there's amazing nonprofits, organizations doing Know Your Rights training. Housing, Know Your Rights, you know. But you can visit our Instagram. You're gonna see that we promote Know Your Rights training. Then you're gonna get sick of it, because we really want you to. We're really trying to build, you know, a worker power, you know, and participate in the training. We also have, like, if you've been victim and you want to talk to somebody, we have a new program called Labor Justice Nights, which happens every Thursday at Festival Center. From 5 to 7, and it's a day with that workers can come just to ask questions, get support, help workers, or help with some campaign activity. And the last thing that I will say, like, participate on the wage theft survey. Help us understand labor violations that are happening in DC. You don't necessarily need to have been a victim or wage theft. You can still participate. We just want to know if you've been a worker in DC for the last 5 years. We want to know what has been happening, how much you've been getting paid, if you've been getting paid overtime, pay sick days, which is made most people don't know that they can get a day to rest and not lose wages. Not be sick, not lose wages, you know. Do the survey, help us build worker power. We have to do this together as a working class to overcome a system that prioritizes profit instead of workers, you know. So we want to prioritize workers. So help us do that.
That's right. No, thank you for that, Alfredo. So, Quinley, anything to add as we begin to wrap up?
I think Alfredo, he hit everything on the nose. Yeah, just that you'll probably see me with him during Labor Justice Nights. I'll be assisting with collecting surveys. And if anyone would like to file a complaint or has any concerns, I will be at Anacostia Park on the 4th of July, because I know all my family will be out there celebrating, and I will be doing outreach. So I will be passing flyers out about the minimum wage and both of our events that's happening this month, July the 13th and the 18th. And so if anyone would like to take the wage staff survey, I'll have that on hand, and other resources for folks who have concerns about their lost wages on the job. But yes, I'll see you guys on the 4th, and I look forward to it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, once again, folks, we've been speaking with Alfredo Castro and Sequinly Gray. They are organizers with DC Jobs with Justice. They've been doing some great work to ensure that workers are supported in their fights for an increased wage, that they know their rights and are able to avail themselves of their rights. They are having a couple of great events coming up. To learn more about these changes, to learn more about their rights, and also to just celebrate and know that, you know, when you organize, you win. And we need to take some time to celebrate these wins so we can recalibrate and get ready to step up to the next challenge. So we really want to thank you both for the work that you're doing and the work that you'll continue to do. If folks want to reach out to you, is there an email, a phone number? Don't want to put y'all out there, you know, necessarily, but if you have an email or a phone number you'd like to share, please go right ahead and share that.
I will not share my email because my name is super hard to remember and spell. But I will share my, so if you guys have any general inquiries, you can email us at info@dcjwj.org. And my work cell phone number is 202-674-2847. Reach out to us, Alfredo.
Yeah. You can call 202-702-8726, 202-702-8726 to ask questions about everything we spoke today about. You know, like if you're not getting paid, the right wage is getting paid, you're not getting overtime, you're being misclassified, you have discrimination case, harassment case, sexual harassment, whatever you're curious about, you just call me, we'll talk about it. We'll find a solution if there's a problem. But yeah, I'm waiting for your phone call.
And Alfredo, se habla español, ¿no? Así que,
se habla español, es hardcore.
En español un poquito lo que acaba de decir en inglés.
Sí, nos puedes llamar al 202-702-8726, 202-702-8726. Si tienes alguna pregunta sobre tu salario, si no se están pagando correctamente, si no se están pagando tiempo extras, si no se están pagando tiempo de enfermedad pagada, si estás siendo discriminado, si te están acosando, si te sientes que tienes algo te está pasando en el trabajo y tienes curiosidad de saber si estás siendo una víctima en el trabajo, llámame al 202-702-8726. Acá estoy para apoyar, listo para ayudar, y listo para crecer como un pueblo unido y crear una fuerza laboral fuerte.
Gracias, Alfredo. Sequently, any languages that I don't know that they speak?
No, not okay. Yet. But we do have language access. So we have materials in Spanish and Amharic as well. So if you guys don't speak English, we definitely can provide those materials for you.
Awesome. Well, once again, folks, we want to thank Alfredo and Sequently for the great work that they're doing. If you're a worker, you want to know more about the changes to the minimum wage and in general, you know, what your rights are as a worker, make sure to reach out to DC Jobs with Justice. If you just search them online, you can find their website. Make sure to go to the knowyourrightsdc.org website to get a better understanding of your rights. And, you know, make sure to reach out to these great organizers that are doing great work here in the district. We'll say thank you so much to them. We'll make sure to have them back on in the future to update us on what's happening on the workers' front. So thank you all both so much. Folks, stay tuned. You've got COVID, Race, and Democracy coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, you'll have the news. And as always, we are so thankful for your listenership. We are so thankful for your support. You know, having this platform to share this type of information for DC workers, for the DC population in general, is so important, and we can't do that without our listeners. So thank you all so much, and we will catch you next Tuesday. Peace, everyone.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here's some headlines for this hour. Today is a make or break day in President Joe Biden's political future. That's according to his fellow Democrats. Over the past few days, numerous Democrats inside Biden's administration and others close to the White House and campaign expected that the conclusions drawn within this morning's House Democratic caucus meeting will likely seal the president's fate. The closed-door caucus meeting, which was called a, quote, listening session, lasted for almost 2 hours and saw around 30 Democrats speak at the open mics. After leaving the meeting, some attendees were asked to describe the mood of the room, and there were differing opinions. One of the president's top allies, Representative Jim Clyburn, described the atmosphere as, quote, very positive, but he did not go into more detail. On the other hand, though, another Democrat called the atmosphere one of sadness, as he said it comes from, quote, talking about someone you love who is in obvious decline, end quote. This summer season is not only being marked by extreme heat waves, but also by another wave of COVID-19. Contributing to the summer COVID surge is the newest variant, LB1, which is the third most common variant currently. Symptoms commonly being reported include sore throat, body aches, chills, congestion, cough, fatigue, fever, and new loss of taste or smell. Medical experts say that the current vaccine is not very effective at durable protection against infection, but they say that being vaccinated is better than not being vaccinated at all. Dr. Thomas Russo, chief of infectious disease at the University at Buffalo in New York, provided this caution, and I quote, if you're high risk for getting sick, meaning you're pregnant, an older adult, immunocompromised, or have certain underlying health conditions, it's also a good idea to mask up in crowded indoor settings, like when you go to the grocery store. He added, you'll also want to avoid indoor settings where you can't wear a mask, like restaurants, until we're on the backside of this wave, end quote. In New York City, new rules will be in place this fall regarding trash collection in an effort to keep away rodents and limit sidewalk trash. Starting November 12th, buildings with 1 to 9 housing units will have to put household trash for pickup in large plastic containers, which are said to be rat-proof. The city is selling the bins to property owners for $50 each. According to Sanitation Commissioner Jessica Tisch, this means 70% of all trash in the city will be covered by container requirements. Larger buildings will join the container trend in spring of 2025. As for enforcement, city officials say there will be a grace period when the program gets underway in November, but eventually there will be $50 fines for each violation. In the D.C. area, it's day one of the 75th anniversary NATO summit, which is being held at the Washington Convention Center. As a result, several road and business closures have taken effect in D.C. To that end, many nearby businesses recommend that customers call first before heading out. Some museums even decided to close today, like the Smithsonian's American History Museum and the African American History and Culture Museum. Also, the area around the Mellon Auditorium is closed today, but it should reopen by the end of the day. And areas around the White House complex will have enhanced security and rolling street closures during tomorrow afternoon and evening. And although there are metro closures and adjusted bus routes in effect, officials still encourage taking public transit when traveling through downtown D.C. rather than driving. You can sign up for real-time alerts by texting NATO DC to 888-777. That's NATO DC to 888-777. In today's weather, it's currently about 87 degrees in New York and 98 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe and thank you for listening.